What is going on, everybody? Welcome into Ante Up. I'm Howard Bender. I got Adam Ronis here. Adam, happy MLB opening day. People might be listening to us on Friday. We're recording Thursday, and it's baseball, baby. I don't even care about the Masters, I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean, I know Tiger Woods is a big story and everything. Maybe on Sunday, if it's close, I'll come in and check it out if it's close. But yeah, today is baseball. And even if you're listening Friday, it's still opening day for a lot of teams. Only six games on the main slate, a total of seven on Thursday, a couple of rainouts. So there's going to be a lot of teams opening on Friday. But yeah, it's definitely good to have baseball back. At least there's one game on as we record, Brewers and Cubs. So watching that, then a few more to start, and hopefully the Mets begin at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. They pushed that game back from 4 to 7 due to the weather. So, yeah, it's just really good to have baseball back. Just so much fun.
It really is. I mean, yeah, I'm like sitting here. I've got, you know, two monitors in front of me. I had a mishap with the remote control. The dog ate it. Literally, the dog ate the remote control. So I have to like stream on the computer. So I've got like one monitor right in front of me. And that's like, these are big screens, right? Like, I'm like, holy shit, this is a little too much here. But I'm super pumped about it. Right. I mean, wake up this morning, you know, you gotta, you know, bright and early, you gotta make sure everything's working, happening on the site. Everything's good. Making sure that the content's going to flow out. But then, you know, then it's like, when I get my work done for the day and then I can kind of just settle in and watch the games. You know, it was so funny. I was on Let's Bet It this morning. And they were like, you know, well, what's your favorite bet for today? And I was like, you know, I said, I'll just go with an anytime home run for Pete Alonso against Patrick Corbin, because Pete Alonso is just going to wreck Patrick Corbin tonight. But I really just like to sit and enjoy the games. I've got my fantasy teams, right? I've bet my futures. So for like opening day, I don't want to sweat anything. I just really want to enjoy it. Opening day for me is like, I mean, it's like a holiday.
For sure. I mean, it's what everyone wants to do. That some people want to bet on everything. Some people just want to sit back, relax. They have their fantasy team. So whatever it is that you want to do that makes you happy. But yeah, I mean, I just love opening day, watching as many games as I can from the beginning of the afternoon to late at night. It is a little different because it's starting on a Thursday and we really, you know, don't have a lot of games. I mean, the last game tonight is 9:40 p.m. Eastern. So there'll be two games on at that time, probably go until about, you know, 1 a.m. Eastern or 1:30 Eastern. So, but still, it allows you to focus more on those games. And you got Shohei Ohtani pitching, you Darvish pitching, Max Fried for the Braves. So it's a good time for sure. And, you know, the next few days, it's just going to be like wall-to-wall baseball.
Wall-to-wall baseball. Indeed. Indeed. You know, the Shohei Ohtani, it's funny you bring him up. You know, a lot of people were taking him to, you know, repeat as the MVP. Getting the opening day start, we've got the brand new Ohtani rule where, you know, the pitcher can also serve as the DH. So, you know, and somebody messaged me, they're like, you know, is Ohtani gonna, you know, is he gonna bat the entire game? I'm like, I think he can, and he probably should. So even if he comes out of the game, that's the question for a lot of people in daily leagues. And I had to make this decision also. Do I use Ohtani as a hitter or a pitcher today, you know, and kind of make that decision? I'm not going to tell you what I did. You tell me what you would do. Would you use him as a pitcher today, or would you use him as the hitter?
I mean, I was going to, there's so many teams off that it's unlikely that you have a full lineup that you're like, well, all my hitter slots are filled. I use them as a pitcher. I probably use him as a pitcher today.
Really? I'm using him as a hitter.
I mean, I don't think you can go wrong either way. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, it's always, you know, it's the first day. And I'm not even talking about like jitters or anything like that. I'm talking about like an abbreviated spring, you know, just the first start of the season. I think, you know, Ohtani's more likely to go yard than he is to pitch a no hitter. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall his specific spring, how many pitches he threw and everything. So that could be a factor. And he's always obviously a threat to steal a base, hit a home run. So yeah, I mean, it's a tough decision, man. In daily leagues, obviously in a daily format, it's easier to pitch him. In a weekly format, it's so difficult. Like I don't see you pitching him that much in a weekly format. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you're bypassing the stats of what he does offensively.
Yeah, and with the 6-man rotation, I don't think that he's going to have any kind of 2-star weeks.
Right, very few, if any.
So, yeah,
especially with off days and everything. And several teams are going to go with 6-man rotations early on.
Well, who else do you have written down? I think it was them. Who else you got?
Twins have mentioned it. The Rays have mentioned it. You're going to start to see it pop up. They're going to be like, even the Brewers have kind of mentioned it.
Even the Brewers have mentioned it. You know, I mean, listen, if you've got the depth to do it, and it does, it keeps the arms rested. I don't hate it. I mean, obviously, from a fantasy standpoint, you lose that whole 2-start thing. And when you lose that 2-start thing, you know, that means something when you're talking about a high end guy like, say, Corbin Burnes, right? If the Brewers go to a 6-man rotation, you know, what does that do to him and Freddie Peralta and their value as they don't get, you know, very many 2-star weeks? So, you know, it's definitely something to pay attention to. The Twins, very interesting with the Twins. I mean, first of all, when was the last time you saw a trade made on opening day? I don't think I've ever seen it.
I think it happened a few years ago with Craig Kimbrel, I think.
On opening day?
Yeah, I think so. Let me see if I can find it.
I have to check that out. So anyway, as Adam's looking to verify that, so the Twins and the Padres make a deal. The Padres send Chris Paddock and another minor leaguer and a player to be named later to the Twins for Taylor Rogers and Brent Rooker. Now, Rooker was likely to be demoted and DFA'd by the Twins. I don't know what his option situation was like. So, you know, he was kind of expendable for them. Taylor Rogers, they just traded their closer, which, you know, to me says we have more, you know, complete confidence in Jorge Alcala to be the guy. And then we're getting back Emilio Pagan, you know, in the deal also, who can, you know, if necessary, help out and fill in late in the game. So, you know, interesting on that situation, because the Twins now with a potential 6-man rotation with Chris Paddock and Chris Archer fighting for that back end there, right? I mean, that's it's interesting. Did you like the deal? Did you not like the deal?
Yeah, by the way, so Atlanta traded Craig Kimbrel April 5th, 2015 to the Padres.
April 5th, 2015 to the Padres. Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. Damn.
I don't think it's clear that the Twins have a closer. Rocco Baldelli comes from Tampa Bay, where they like closer committees, and he did it last year. Taylor Rogers got saved. Robles got saves. And who's the other guy? There was one more guy that got saves. Man, who am I forgetting? Rogers, Robles, and there was someone else. I don't know why I can't remember now. But yeah, I mean, they have Tyler Duffy, Alcala, Pagan, the rookie Duran. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think it's clear cut. I think you could see a committee here. And I'm not sure that Rogers is closing for San Diego either, because they might look at him as someone they want to use as to get lefties out. I think he has the skill set to close. I like him a lot, but I'm not sure he's the guy either. I know Robert Suarez was someone who really moved up in drafts, and they mentioned he was the favorite. So that's what you really have to watch these first few days, man, with a lot of these teams. Even now, the game that we're watching, Cubs-Brewers, Cubs have the lead 3-1 in the sixth. Now, the bullpen could easily blow it, but who's closing for them? I mean, I picked up David Robertson in labor for $1. I picked him up I drafted him last night, 25th, 26th round. So I'm not sure who's closing, but I think he has a shot. So
yeah, I've got a share of Rowan Wick, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, it looked like a few weeks ago he was the guy, but he has not pitched well in the spring, and they haven't named him the closer.
No. Nope.
So yeah, there's a lot of bullpens right now that are in flux, and we are going to see some of these committees. But yeah, the Taylor Roger one, that really could blow people up, man, because he was drafted kind of as a top 10, top 12 closer in many leagues, and now we're not sure if he is. Suarez, again, he really moved up in the leagues that I was in over the last 5 days, sometimes going in the ninth, 10th round, and that could turn out to be a real dud as well. But that's, again, now you can see the other side of why people were paying up for closers, whether you agree with it, disagree with it, can't do it. I get it because I wasn't able to do it. But you see why people were taking Josh Hader, Liam Hendricks early. They didn't want to deal with all this shit. Well, who's closing here? Oh, let me take a flight. Because now you're wasting, not wasting, but sometimes you got like 4 or 5 spots where you're speculating on closers and they're all not going to work out. And you're going to sit there and wait 2-3 weeks. All right, well, I guess he's not closing. Let me cut him. And then a week later, that guy closes. So it's the chasing that we all play, and it can be frustrating.
It can be frustrating. It is frustrating. I'm firsthand right here. I'm hit with it in a bunch of ways here. My TGFBI team. Where is it? It's right here. Bum 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 bum. What do I got here? Joe Barlow was one of the picks. Robert Suarez and Pierce Johnson sitting there as well. So I'm dealing with some situation there for my second closer. I've got a couple of hopefuls, but nothing doing there. And then if you go to my team in the Barf League, which, you know, basically, it's like same thing here. I've got Anthony Bender on this team. I've got Joe Barlow on this team. I've got Cole Sulcer on this team. I've got Robert Suarez on this team. So, yeah, I've got a couple of situations to just kind of sit back and, you know, just kind of let it sort through. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, what I like about the way I built my teams right now is that I've got, you know, good depth that's filling the holes for, you know, injured guys or something like that, right? I think I drafted pretty well to afford to not making hasty decisions on some of these relievers, because that's definitely, like you said, you can't just base it on, you know, like, I mean, it's always the funniest, right? The random guy who gets the save on Saturday or Sunday and then fab bidding goes in. Right. That's Sunday night and people just flip out. Right. It's like, holy cow. It's like, you know, 10% per save chance or pitch thrown or something crazy like that. So, yeah, these are definitely situations that you got to deal with. But if you drafted properly and you didn't get hit by the injury bug early, then you can afford to make some of those plays and just kind of sift through some of these bullpens. And wait and see, you know, at least give yourself a week and a half.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, hopefully we get some answers. But yeah, there could be some overreaction, you know, the first 4 days, seeing how it sorts out. And then fab on Sunday, if someone's out there, you're going to see a hefty bid, because there's going to be multiple teams, especially the deeper the format is, the 15 team leagues, especially, where there's a team right now sitting there probably with no closers. You know, maybe they did an early draft. Maybe they drafted Will Smith and Blake Treinen. Now they have no closers, and now they're desperate. And they're like, "Well, I don't want to punt saves. I need to get saves. So I'm going to pay for this guy." So you never want to be in that spot, because a lot of times that player you're paying for or overpaying, it does not work out, and they're not the closer. So it's a challenge, man. It's real tough. It can be frustrating at times because everyone is looking for saves.
Yeah, everyone is looking for saves. Always. Wait, what was the other one? I benefited, actually, or it doesn't really hurt me too much that it happened. So I have Cole Sulcer in AL Tout, right? he stands a pretty good chance to help, you know, get some saves over there in Miami. So I get, you know, I sit and I hold on to him. But what was the other one? Who's it? Was it Labor? Was it Labor?
Bobby Witt sucks. He flat out to right.
Oh, man. Thanks a lot. What's up with that? Shit. Who was the player? Oh, no. I think I had to ask. I don't remember what it was. I've got Taylor Rogers. Where the hell do I have him? I can't even figure out where I have him. I'm not going to go through like all my teams here right now to kind of see it. But you really just bummed me out with the Bobby Witt thing.
One at bat.
Chalk. Right. You know, it was so funny, too, because I was doing so when, you know, I forgot that we were recording early yesterday and then you were unavailable. I brought on James Grande and we talked DFS. And, you know, immediately it was like, you know, Bobby Witt, 2300, right, on DraftKings. It was like a great cash game play because everybody and their grandmother are going to use him. Everybody's going to use him no matter what. I was like, fade him in GPP. So there you go. So I feel good about that.
Yeah, I was just worried because it was Bieber. I know we didn't really get any velocity readings on him in the spring, but that was a concern. But yeah, he's cheap. And again, six games late. So I have no problem if people paid him. And again, it's one at bat. He could homer his next at bat.
No, he has to homer in every at bat, Adam. Every single at bat. Otherwise, it's a complete disappointment.
He's no Seiya Suzuki, who's one for one with a run and a walk.
Yeah, I watched him hit that hit. It was a very nice hit. You get burned on Yoan Moncada hitting the IL today?
No, see, I swear, I thought I drafted him in one league, and apparently I didn't. I was not high on Moncada this year, man. I know he fell. Part of it is I don't know what to make of him. The guy has just not lived up to the expectations. He's 26 years old. I know he had COVID in 2020, but he played 144 games last year and had 14 home runs, man. 61 RBIs, only stole three bases. He hasn't run much the last 2 years. I think he was eating a lot of bad foods and he talked about he's in better shape and everything. And I know OBP, he's a little bit better. It was 375 last year, 367 in 2019. And I do play in a couple OBP leagues, but I know he wasn't expensive. He was 11th, 12th round and third base kind of thing, but I just could never pull the trigger on him. We just haven't seen it. We've seen like one good year from him. Like we're still sitting there on potential. And I feel like we keep making excuses for him. So I was not high on him. And I've had him the last couple of years, but it's just we haven't seen it. We're still sitting there on potential after all these years. I mean, he has one season of 20 plus home runs.
Yeah, listen, I haven't invested in him at all in the past. And yeah, listen, you know, back from when he was a prospect with the Red Sox and before they traded him to Chicago, you know, yeah, I mean there was incredible hype. I mean, what was it? The first 2 years that he was in the minors, the dude swiped like 94 bases. Right. And that just that, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like then he was hitting for power in the majors. He wasn't stealing bases. Then he was, you know, I can't say that it was the best shape of his life kind of hype. But like you just brought up, poor diet, a lot of sugar. These are things that he's actually talked about working with a new trainer, working with a new nutritionist. Being smart and sensible about it and excited about the way he feels. And, you know, he's excited. He wants to run more. We've heard all of that stuff there. So, you know, listen, because like you said, there's, you know, I mean, the price tag for a third baseman, starting third baseman who does have some potential, who does have some upside, right? Can he hit 20 home runs and steal me 10 bases? I think he can. I'm going to, you know, take that shot and see if he's capable of doing it. So so I took some shares there and, you know, just as a not even as my primary third baseman, I don't think. I think I ended up with like, you know, him as a more of a corner infield because he kept dropping in drafts. I was like, all right, if he's just going to keep dropping, I'll just let him fall and just scoop him up. So I'm going to see it. But I'll tell you, man, scratched from a game on Tuesday, and then the team's like, oh, it's no big deal. He's fine. He's going to be okay. Doesn't hurt you, blah, blah, blah. No update at all yesterday. Nothing. Like, did not hear word one. And then all of a sudden, boom. Now this morning, he's on the IL, and they're looking at like 3 weeks now.
Yeah, I was surprised at this too. I was like, wait a second, what? And apparently he wanted to play through it, but they didn't want to push it. And he was experiencing pain at times. So, yeah, it's obviously not the way you want to start the year, man, to already get 3 weeks. And that's the problem. Again, the injuries are always going to be there. And that's why it's a little difficult to draft injured players. Because, again, the timetables are always extend them. Like, I was talking about this last night on Alarm After Hours. What the hell was that, Brewers? Oh, my God. Lance Lynn, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'll be out 4 weeks. Lance Lynn's comments. First of all, players are always optimistic when it comes to injuries. Guy could tear his ACL. He thinks he's going to be back in 2 weeks. But there were some comments from Lance Lynn that I saw, and I don't think it really got a lot of publicity. Something like, yeah, you know, hopefully I'll be back like at the middle of the year. We can make a run. I was like, oh, wait, what? Let me see. I'm going to find the exact quote right now. Shit. Yeah, like I was like, he said something about if they play their cards right, he'll be back in the middle of the year. I'm like, wait, what? The middle of the year? Okay, so you're telling me you're missing 2 to 3 months? And that was not really what the report was. So here it is. You look at what I was dealing with at the end of last year. It's in the exact same spot. Sounds like it was going to go eventually anyways. Better now than at the end of the season, and I'll be ready for the playoffs. If we play our cards right, we can get back in the middle of the season and make a run. Like, really? Okay. Middle of the season? I mean, that's what, June, July? So I was like, whoa, because I was debating taking him, and we do have IL spots, and I'm like, I was like, no, and everyone else felt the same way. And then it came around. I'm like, all right, this is the round. I think I got to take him. And someone took him before me. So, but yeah, those are not what you want to hear from a player, because players are very optimistic. And it's a lesson in all fantasy sports. When you see a timetable for an injury, you should add a week or two on. Don't be like, oh, 2 to 4 weeks. He'll be back in 2 weeks. No. Don't. Because if you have that in your head, you're going to plan your team accordingly. It's better to go, all right, you know what? I'm going to plan for 5-6 weeks. There could be a setback. There could be pain. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. So just keep that in mind, because I think people too often are like, oh, yeah, he'll be back in 2 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks. Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks. No, sometimes more often than not. I mean, I haven't done a study to track it, but I'm sure if you did, more often than not, they're going to come out on the longer side of the timetable.
Yeah, which is, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny, to move it to the 10-day IL. I mean, I get that, you know, why you do it, because, you know, there are those guys who maybe don't need the full 15. Remember when we had the 15-day DL? Like, that to me, I was fine with that, right? I mean, I was totally fine. You could have even just made it, you know, like a full 2 weeks and just said a 14-day DL, whatever you wanted to do with that. But at least then it gave the player time to heal. And if he was fine, if he was all better in 6 days, well, then, okay, then just make sure. Ease him back in. Like, that's – I've always been of that mindset of err on the side of caution with injuries. And I do what you just said to do, right? When I heard, you know, Lance Lynn was going to be – when they first said – I think because they first said 4 to 6 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said 2 months immediately, like, just, you know, in my mindset. And that was it. It's, you know, you're going to, because even if he's fine to come back in 6 weeks, right, he's going to need time to build up his arm strength. He's going to need to get his timing back, you know, and it's going to take some time. So I definitely, you know, I like to err on the side of caution with that. But, you know, for me, what just drives me nuts, and it's not even about, you know, it's not even, you know, with players giving their own timetables and diagnosing themselves and stuff like that. It's, you know, again, it's the timing of the move and the lack of reporting on it. That's, you know me, man. Anytime I get to bash a beat writer for not giving us the right information, I'm going to take it. I'm definitely, that's low hanging.
Okay. But okay. So in this situation with Makata, what do you want them to do? He played scratch Tuesday. There was no games after. So What do you want them to do? How are they supposed to know?
Just an evaluation of him the next day. The team's going to evaluate him the next day, aren't they?
Well,
a guy for an injury,
if the
on Tuesday, are you not going to test the guy out on Wednesday at all? See how he's doing.
And what was the report that he was?
There was none.
If the team doesn't tell people what is going on, what do you want them to do? Sneak into Makata's house and examine him?
Hunt it down. Reach out to the team. Reach out to the trainers, the managers, the coaches.
What if they say nothing? Well, we have no update. He's fine.
Yeah. Then you know what? Then tell me that there's no update. Team didn't examine him today.
But that's not news. There's no update. I mean, so you're just going to do that for everything? Yeah, we have no update.
Guys in danger of missing opening day or starting the season on the IL. Maybe they didn't think that he was going to start the season on the IL.
But it's clear that they didn't, because Moncada said he wanted to play through it.
Right.
Like, we've had updates on Nimmo, right? We know Nimmo has a neck strain. He had a cortisone shot. He's not in the lineup today. He's not on the IL. So we have those updates because they said it.
Well, in this case, Adam, they didn't. Listen, I know you're going to listen. You were a beat writer. You're going to defend them. No.
See, you're wrong. You're wrong, Howard. I was never a beat writer.
You worked for Newsday.
Right, but I was never a beat reporter for a professional team. But I think you're not seeing the other side of it. And you've never been in that spot, so you don't know how it is.
No, I have not. I have not. But again, for me, you and I, we definitely see this differently. I tell you, man, and maybe it's because the NFL has really ruined me on this, because in the NFL, one of the biggest problems that we've had is that beat writers aren't saying anything, or they're mouthpiece for the team because they don't want to lose their clubhouse access, right? Because teams have done that. They have pulled, there was like a whole stink about it, about a beat writer who was criticizing, the coach and how the team decisions and putting it all out there. And then suddenly this guy couldn't get into the clubhouse and couldn't get an interview. Right. So we've seen that happen in the NFL, to which point then that beat writers become mouthpieces, basically, and just whatever the coach, whatever the team wants to say. And then we ran into problems with that with, like, let's say Kyle Shanahan, because, the NBC Bay Area writers were specifically told by Shanahan not to write about a particular player because he wanted to surprise the opposition with using him the next, in the next game or in the upcoming game. So, yeah, you know what, man? Like, over time now, I look at beat writers and wonder, how much effort are they putting in for the stories right now? They're allowed back in clubhouses these days, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So you've got the access back. Like, you've got it back. I don't think, when you're talking about a player, you're talking about a team's starting third baseman who gets scratched on Tuesday afternoon, that there should be some sort of an update on him for opening day. It's opening day. I'm not saying you have to do this every single time, but it's opening day. What else are you going to do?
Well, they don't play today. Opening day is Friday, and the report came out today. Basically, what happened was they said Moncada was fine until he felt something in the batting cage. He was scratched. He proposed to the team, if he was feeling better tomorrow, he possibly could play. The team said no. They didn't want to risk it, and they made the decision today to put him on the IL.
Right. So why didn't you put him on the IL yesterday? If you knew it was happening. Okay,
did anyone put players on the IL yesterday? We still are waiting for a bunch of teams. They don't do it.
Dude, this has to do with my waivers, Adam.
Okay, well, that I
can't. This has to do with running waivers.
I got screwed too. In my league, I have Josh Rojas. I can't put him on the IL. I got to wait. What am I going to do? There's nothing I can do. I got to wait.
Your commish doesn't do like a forced IL for guys who are obviously clearly going on the IL?
I'm the commish, and no, I didn't do it.
How come?
There, you got to wait for the site. I tried to do it on CBS. It wouldn't let me.
Oh. So it's the platform then.
I mean, maybe there is a way, but I don't know. Like, I went in commission mode and I'm like, all right, let me see if I could put Rojas on IL, and it wouldn't let me. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to leave. Everyone has a situation, has to deal with it, you know? So our next waiver run is Sunday. So on Sunday, or some of the moves were official. I did see there were a couple that were on the IL when waivers ran last night, or they did it today, and it's a daily league, so they can make the changes. But it's just part of it. But I mean, again, and sometimes the player is just going to be like, yeah, I'm fine. Let me see. And sometimes you don't know till like a day or two later. You know, you get scratched, and some players are fine. Like, so Jorge Mateo, right? Got hit by a pitch. Okay, now he's fine. But I mean, all these guys can do is reach out to the team, reach out to someone and say, hey, what's going on? Oh, we don't know yet. We don't know. We're going to wait and see tomorrow, see what happens.
Okay. Listen, that's, I'll take that.
I mean, didn't you have the sign? He was scratched from Tuesday.
Isn't that right? I saw that he was scratched from Tuesday.
Right.
And so when I was finalizing all my waiver claims on Wednesday for opening day today, I went digging and looking for more news on Moncada, and I couldn't find anything on him whatsoever on Wednesday. And so I just went through waivers and just assumed that he was going to be okay because the team was downplaying it the day before. And so I went through waivers, and then I woke up this morning, and what did I see? I saw Moncada now on the IL and likely out 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen, man. It's just, it sucks, but it's going to happen. Sometimes the teams don't know immediately, and then a day or two later, they don't feel well, and they get placed on the IL. Other times, they're going to be fine, and they'll be back. So, you know, and again, that was Tuesday. They didn't play Wednesday, so I don't know if they had access. The team was probably flying to wherever they were going, so they probably didn't have access to the manager or the players.
Are the White Sox on the road?
Well, they're in Detroit, but they're coming from, are they a Florida team or Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah. So they were probably, they played Tuesday and they were probably flying to Detroit, probably got in a workout today. And that's when they addressed the media. And that's why it broke today.
It's unacceptable to me, Adam. It's unacceptable to me.
Well, it sucks. I mean, look, it's going to happen to all of us. We're all going to be in for a surprise. We're going to find out a player's hurt. It happens all the time. And
well, I sure shit hope it doesn't happen again tomorrow. That's not going to be fun. That's not going to be fun. Any team that's like sitting there right now making those last minute decisions, I would like to know which players are actually in danger of landing on that IL. We know the obvious ones.
Yeah.
Iffy ones. That's what I want.
And we're also going to be surprised by some lineups as well.
Like Diego Castillo not being in the Pirates opening day lineup. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, man.
Got to get Hoy Park in there. Got to make sure that. What other chucklehead do they have going on in that lineup? I didn't get Diego Castillo in any of my leagues.
Yeah, I did not either.
You know who I did get? How about this one? In labor. NL labor. I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm gonna leave you hanging here for a quick second. We're going to go pay some bills. Right? Take a quick commercial break. When we come back, a waiver claim I made yesterday, I just didn't think it was going to happen. And it did. And I'm happy. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Be right back. So, Adam, in the spirit of you never know who's going to slip through at what price, you know, NL labor waivers yesterday was just, I mean, it was just a hotbed of action as you had a number of guys, you know, Matt Olson, you know, all of a sudden now he's available in the NL. You had Sean Manaea suddenly available, Randall Grichuk. Luke Voit, Craig Kimbrell. I mean, it was crazy. The players that we had available to us in this first waiver one. And here's the funny thing also is that obviously all but three teams had ripped through at least you know, almost 40% of their budget, right? Like some 50. Freddie Freeman, I think you and I were talking about, I was wrong about the price that he went for. He went for 71. So, you know, whatever. I figured, okay, I'm going to like throw in some bids here, you know, all over the place with my 50, you know, with my 50, you know, Matt Olson went for 63, but I threw, you know, I threw a bid on Matt Olson. I threw a bid on Randall Grichuk, Craig Kimbrell, Luke Voit. I just had bids all over the place just to see what happens. I fucking landed Grichuk in Colorado in an NL only for $38. Yeah, I don't have much bid money left the rest of the way, but I added two pretty strong power bats, which is something that I needed to do in Schwarber and Grichuk to help push this offense a little bit more north.
Yeah, definitely guys that are going to provide a lot of home runs. You know, I mentioned, I think Schwarber could potentially lead the NL in home runs. It's not a bad long shot bet to take. And yeah, Grichuk in Colorado, certainly good for him. We know he's always hit for power. You know, average is always a little risky, but in Coors Field, maybe the batting average has helped a little bit with a higher BABIP. So yeah, there was just so many appealing players that you could see him going a little bit lower than some of the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty surprised. The big bids there were, 42 took Craig Kimbrell, 63 took Olson, 37 took Luke Voit, in that one there. Not bad though. I was pretty psyched. Oh, 51 for Chris Bassett, 31 for Sean Manaea. Like nobody's got bid money. I mean, it's crazy. The who's running the Fangraphs team? I think it's Mike Podorzer. And he hasn't spent he spent $9 out of his $100 budget. Everybody else in this league, you got Van Riper, who's got 47% of his budget left. That's the second highest.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of in a similar spot, obviously, for the outlier team. So, but yeah, you're getting these players for the entire season. So it's one of those rare years with everything that's happened in baseball that, well, we hope we probably won't see anything like this again. But yeah, I mean, I got two players in tout for a combined $7. So people outspent me like crazy.
People went nuts in the AL tout too. I didn't even go crazy in AL tout and people went bonkers.
Yeah. Someone spent, there's a team that has only 551 out of 1,000 left in a 15 team mixed. I mean, there are $0 bids. In fact, it looks like three teams didn't spend anything. There's another team that has 526 left, 551. So yeah, there were people who went out and spent. So in the mixed, it was obviously, Matt Brash was available. He went.
Where's the list of who everybody has, what everybody has left on Roto?
Go to front office and then Fab summary.
Front office Fab summary. Yes. What's our lowest total here? Somebody has Patrick Davitt has $285 left of his 1,000.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, I guess in a mono league, I could see it, especially if you had some holes. You know, it's like, well, now I'm going to have to be conservative with Fab the rest of the way. But if you get two, maybe three players that are going to either get everyday at bats or have a significant role on the pitching staff, we know that they rarely come along during the season.
Yeah, that's why I'm psyched to have Grichuk and Schwarber added to the roster. It's like, full-time at-bats. Oh, and I swapped out – I had to swap out catchers because Pedro Severino ended up getting an 80-game ban.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, Victor Caratini gets traded to Milwaukee. So I'm like, all right, I'll take Caratini for a buck. Why the heck not?
Yeah, he'll get some playing time.
What's that?
Yeah, he'll get some playing time.
Maybe he'll get some. And yeah, Narvaez gets hurt, then it's even better. Not that I love rooting for an injury, but if Narvaez gets hurt.
Are we really doing this MLB Network? We're cutting into an Albert Pujols at bat? Really?
Oh, is this his first at bat?
Yeah. Oh, no, man. Wait, is that? Oh, no, it's Arenado. They're waiting for Pulis on deck. Come on, man. Oh, man. Because Pulis is hitting fifth as the DH today.
Oh, see, I got to, you know, I got to see it. What Jim's little tug the heartstrings. Oh, you are so far ahead of me. Holy shit.
Why? No, Pulis isn't up yet. He's on deck.
I know. I'm saying Arenado's up, but it just popped onto my MLB network that I'm streaming here.
Okay. Yeah, the stream is a little bit behind. All right, my guy, Willy Adames, RBI double. Thank you, buddy. 0-3 to start. A lot of Willy Adames. Arenado strikes out. Here comes Pujols. It is returned. Oh, my God. This is epic. Come on, guys. Really?
Oh. You're such a hater, dude.
Wait a second.
Where's the romance?
It's fine, but we're cutting into a Pujols at bat. They didn't do this for Bobby Witt.
They're duels. It's two screens. Yeah, Bobby Witt is not a Hall of Famer right now.
Okay.
He might be drafted as such.
Okay. Who would you rather see at the plate right now? Bobby Witt or Albert Pujols?
Well, that's not my option here. My option is I've got a Christian Yelich and an Albert Pujols in the same screen.
Two guys with bad backs who ground out. Dude, oh, wait. Yelich hit into the air. Could it be a sack fly? Get in there. Get in there, Willie. Yes. Brewers tied up. But no, it's Colton Wong.
You're soulless, man. What's wrong with you?
I'm not that I'm soulless. It's just I don't understand, like, why they're making this whole Pujols thing a big deal. First of all, he should not be in the lineup against the righty, and he shouldn't be hitting fifth.
Adam Matt Deutsch here. Yeah, sometimes you just got to play the hits.
This is not a hit. Sorry, Matt.
Not for you. But Pujols sells to people. Pujols has appeal.
No, not anymore. Come on.
Not to fantasy owners, but to baseball fans, to Cardinals fans.
I really don't think he does
anymore. Really?
Yeah.
I think that's crazy, man. I think he's got a lot more appeal than you think. You're just thinking about it because you're steeped in fantasy and betting.
No, he said.
But I just lost you. Your mic just cut out. I can't hear a word. There you are.
717 OPS last year. We're going to hit him fifth on opening day against the righty. It's not even like it's a lefty.
It's opening day. It's the Pirates. No. Have a little fun.
Nah.
You have no soul.
I'd rather you cut into Andrew McCutchen's at bat. That guy's got some juice left. 2-3 today.
God. Yeah, he's 2-3 with a double, a single. Yeah, good stuff there. You have no soul. I'm sorry, man. That's terrible, man.
I have no soul. I'm sorry. And we missed a fly out to left field. Oh, yeah. Great. Hey,
you know, listen, it's going to be entertainment. It's going to be it's romantic. Stop your nonsense there. Jeez. God, I thought I was getting aggravated with you when you were like, you know, making fucking lousy picks in our sports book draft at the end. Jeez, now you're even worse.
No.
Did we ever argue about that?
No.
your $6 return on a win total bet when we needed to like just have a little fun and throw some long shots in there?
No, because that's not how you're gonna win it, man. You saw we won hitting four. They were not long shots.
No, they weren't long shots, but I'm not talking about taking an 80-1 long shot. I think the one that I was looking at, I think was it the Rangers one that I said, let's just do it for the sake of doing it?
I took it. It's not going to cash, but I took it.
I know it's not going to cash. Although Chris Murray gave me a really nice argument for it with Shesterkin possibly getting hot. Was it the Fantasy Alarm Show that you hosted with me where I said I would like eat my, I gotta eat my hat or something to, if we win because of by the narrow margin of one of those like last two wins totals that had like no return value. It was like, you're gonna make like $27 or something like that on them.
No, it was not that low. Okay, but okay, here you're not, but you got to look at what everyone else did. There was somebody who took like three or four different players to win the Masters. They're automatically, if none of them win, they're in a hole.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, so
you got to do a balance, and I think we did balance it. We took a Cy Young shot. We took a White Sox to win the World Series, the Indy 500 won, but then, you know, some wins and unders on K's.
Yeah. For Nats win total on the under was a great call. Suns to come out of the West. Then we took our shots on Giolito and the White Sox to win it all. We had a fun one there with Indy 500.
I mean, we're kind of in the middle as far as top. Again, the top. I don't know if the top payouts either. See, the top payouts could be misleading because does it calculate that you can't, like, the someone who took the Masters, like three or four different players with the Masters, do they calculate that? Probably not. They probably just put up all the totals. So it's misleading. Because you can't have four people win the Masters the last time I checked. It's only one.
No, you cannot.
The Jokic one was a steal, man. It sucks that we didn't get it, that those that they knew the team picking two ahead of us took them, because he's now like minus 280. And at the time we did it, plus 150. So that's a nice probably money in the bank there for that team.
Yeah, I was surprised that they had the wherewithal to pull DeGrom strikeouts off the board too.
I know. I think it was too easy, but they do need to do a better job of providing more props. Like, I wanted the Kyle Schwarber home run. It wasn't there. Like,
right.
Did they just cherry pick? And I think basically hearing it is like, yeah, I was sitting there watching something and pulling props. I'm like, okay. I mean, look, I know this is different. It's unique. It's kind of in the infancy stages of doing this, and I guess you got to manually put it in. I understand that, but I just felt like the options were a little bit limited. I know they'll probably be more detailed because I think the next one is probably going to be almost all football only. So they'll probably have a lot more, but like the home run props on players were limited. Cy Young picks were limited.
Yeah, well, there were like five choices for
you. Yeah, man. Like, come on, man. Like, we want a little bit of a long shot that we felt was realistic to cash.
Yeah. Instead, what do? We said 300 on the Diamondbacks win total to win 572. I love giving you shit.
We barely won the last one.
So doesn't matter if you barely won, we still won.
But that's the point, is that if this cashes and we barely win, you're going to look back and be like, oh, wow, we won by $240. I guess your Diamondbacks and Rockies plays worked out.
That's exactly what I just said. I said I would do something. I would do something in honor of that. I would honor you with, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I'm rethinking that. Anything that honors you. I think I'm out on that now.
And then I had to yell at Fensty. I think it was Tuesday. I was like,
Fensty, you kept stealing all of our props.
Yeah, I told him. I'm like, yo, you are fucked up. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you're stealing my fucking picks. I've talked about this on the show. He's like, what's wrong with that? I'm like, it is wrong. I'm like, he's like, but no, I was like, no, it's wrong. And then I brought the two producers on, and Torres was on my side, and Shannon didn't want to comment, and she tried hiding. I'm like, Shannon, I see you on video. You're still there. You know, she's like ducking her head, like she doesn't want to comment. I'm like, I know you're trying to be diplomatic and you don't want to get involved in this, but come on. She's like, oh, no, I don't. I was like, come on, man. Fensty's stealing stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference between, you know, him, you know, getting information on baseball from you? Then what's the difference between me going to, you know, our NHL guys and getting some thoughts and advice from them?
It's different because you're seeking them out. We're doing a show together, me and him, and he's taking the information I'm providing to listeners and subscribers and then using it for himself. Use your own brain, man.
You should be flattered that A, he's even listening to a word that you're saying.
No, it's because I wanted the Brewers and the A's, man.
Dude, believe me, I wanted the Brewers and the A's too. I thought the A's was like the no-brainer there. I thought that was coming that, back to us.
And that number has been decreasing, too. I think it's down to 68 now.
67 and a half right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it keeps decreasing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I know he got information from someone on the Masters. So, and he talked to the NHL guys, too, because he put three NHL bets in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was the we were going to take those, right? We were going to take the Hurricanes. The Avalanche that he stole from us. And the Hurricanes. Look at that. Three straight picks. That son of a bitch. May he never grow another hair on his head.
No, I don't think we have to worry about that.
He's got to get rid of the toilet seat, the wraparound. He's got to get rid of that. Just go full bald, right?
Yeah. But if you look at our payouts, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, so we're middle of the pack as far as like the payout. I mean, if we hit like Giolito or the White Sox to win, then we got a shot.
Well, that was again, the Suns, even the Suns. That's what those were very similar odds that we hit with Parsons and Chase.
Yeah. I think they weren't plus 1100 though for those. I think they were not at that level. But yeah, it was, what did we hit? We had Chase. Oh, I think we had Chase rookie of the year, Chase over in his yards, right? Uh-huh. Mike Evans under on his yards and Parsons to win rookie of the year. And that was enough. That's the thing. Like, no one's going to hit 8 out of 12. Plus, you have to look at what they take. You know, some people are going to take two MVPs, two or three teams to win a championship. So, you're already crossing off bets off the board. Like the team ahead of us, team two, they took a lot of unders on, they took basically their strategy was take under strikeouts on a bunch of pitchers. Now, all of them were like $400. So those payouts are not big, but they took Cease, Wheeler, Verlander, Alcantara, and Gossman all under Ks. And they already cashed a bet. They had South Carolina women. And it was only 668. They won. I think they covered the 8.5. And Fenske had Kansas over 68 and Evan Nova. So he already won 1,527.
Oh, good for Fenske. I wonder who gave him that. Servo probably gave him that.
Probably, yeah. I mean, come on. Like, then in the Zoom, he's like, when we made the Indy 500, he's like, wait, what do you know about that? I'm like, dude, I got sources, man. And then they were like, oh, I'm glad someone took the Indy 500. When is that shit? Let me see.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
It could have happened already.
I don't track any of this until the end of the season, until like the end of it.
May 29th, Memorial Day weekend.
May 29th, Memorial Day weekend, the Indy 500. We hit that one, we're winning the whole thing.
Yeah, that's going to be the key to everything. So,
yeah,
I'm sure one of us will remember it.
Nice firm $800 bet there.
Yeah.
Should have just maxed it out. It's the backseat driving from the passenger seat 3 days later.
Yeah.
3 weeks later, actually.
Hey, look, at least we already won once. We get a ring. So now.
Right, yeah, but we got to go to Detroit to get it.
Yeah. I mean,
in the summer.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Maybe there'll be a game. I want to go see. Is there going to be a Tigers game?
Let's check that out. It's usually FSG summer conference. That is, it's usually what, like Monday, Tuesday? Yeah, they always do like Monday, Tuesday, right?
They have the dates already set, don't they?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it now. Why is it?
I'm going to look at the Tigers schedule.
It's not. Well, I'm clicking on it. It's not coming up. June. No, here we go. June. No, that's an old one. What the hell? FSGA. Come on, man.
Where's that little notepad they gave me? I think it was on the.
There it is. June. Location, but not the date.
Come on.
Let's give it the hotel and see what the agenda.
Where's that stupid
Monday, June 13th, June 14th.
Really?
Monday, Tuesday, yeah.
White Sox are in town, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Right? Do we buy Eloy and Giolito jerseys and go to this one?
Yeah, I think we might have to.
I think we might have to also track the pitching.
Hopefully it's not that far from where we're at.
It's Detroit, man, right? Everything's probably just 15 minutes away. It's a city.
And wait, so it's the 13th to 14th. We could always, the 15th is a day game at 1.
Ooh. But then you're spending an extra day in Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. I've never been there, so I don't know. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not. You missed the Yankees by a week. Oh, no, they're on the road. They're in New York the week before.
Yeah.
We missed the Blue Jays by a day.
Just missed the. Well, if it's the 13th and 14th, we can fly in on Sunday.
Yeah, but we got to do Fab.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. That might.
All right, we're gonna have to take.
Either way, I mean, Blue Jays and White Sox. Those are both good games, regardless. I mean,
right.
You're seeing good teams, and the Tigers are definitely a fun team now. So yeah, it works out.
I wish I could wear my Riley Green jersey, but alas, it's on the IL.
Maybe he's back by then. That's 2 months.
Oh, that possible. Would be something. That would be something. All right. Well, I gotta go and get ready for a little something called the Fantasy Alarm Show on Sirius XM. Adam, it was lovely spending some of my opening day with you, sort of. You soulless creature who hates on the romantic side of Albert Pujols being in St. Louis.
Oh, boy. It's, okay. I don't mind it. I just don't see why we're cutting into his at-bat. That's all.
Because he's Albert Pujols.
Okay, fine. He's not anymore. That's the bottom line.
He's not the same Pujols he once was. Yes, you are correct.
Okay.
Don't hate. Don't hate. You're hating. It's terrible. It's not, ooh, no, ooh, bitter. No, green, not a good color on you. All that. All right, that's going to do it for us here. Big thanks to everybody for liking, subscribing. We'll be back for what? Oh, today's third. The next time we're back is like post-Fab and a whole lot of other things happening with 3 days of baseball. So enjoy opening day. On Friday, if your team's opening day, and enjoy your first weekend filled with baseball. Go to fantasyalarm.com, get all the playbook stuff, and play some DFS and follow some bets. I'm gonna start dropping in my best bets that I used to do over on Wager Alarm, Adam. I'm gonna start dropping them into my fantasy roundup article over on Fantasy Alarm. So. I had somebody asking me for it because he made a lot of money off of me last year. So I think I'm going to just kind of bring that back. And yeah, we'll see. Got any parting shots, Adam?
Nah, man, just happy baseball is back.
Happy baseball is back. No doubt about it. All right, that's going to do it for us here. The Annie Up Show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.